Lord, what does it mean to love my neighbor as myself? I start in my own home and I ask myself, what does my husband and my wife think about my Christianity? Is it going to be better in 2010 than 2009? Or is it just going to be more meetings? Am I going to go with the Levite and the priest, go reading my Bible and ignoring my wife and the children and all that in the home? No. You want to hear God speak to you? Well, God says, be my witness in your home, first of all. Don't try to fool other people that you're a wonderful Christian if you're not a good Christian at home. Jerusalem first. Then the next circle is our local church. You should belong to a local church. If you still don't belong to a local church, you better hurry up and become a part of a local church. Many people don't like to be a part of a local church because it brings responsibility. They treat a church like a restaurant. You know, you go to a restaurant, you don't have to wash the clothes, you don't have to wash the plates, you don't have to do anything, just don't have to cook the food, just eat, give some money and go away. A lot of people go to church like that. Come, eat the spiritual food, put some money in the offering box or put nothing, go away. But there are others who recognize the church as a home. Well, I have to sweep the floor, I have to clean the toilets, I've got to do so many things. I'm part of the home. Many people don't want that responsibility. And I can guarantee that such people will never grow. Those who treat churches like restaurants never grow spiritually. We're building family, not restaurants. So, first a local home, Jerusalem, then the local church. In other words, do I have a right attitude to every single brother and sister in this local church? I'm not worried about their attitude towards me. That's not my business. What is my attitude towards them? Some of them are unlovely, just like you were when Christ accepted you. Some of them are so stubborn. Exactly. Not as stubborn as you were when Christ accepted you. Some of them are so inconsiderate and selfish. Not as inconsiderate and selfish as you were in God's eyes when Christ accepted you. All he's saying is, receive them like I received you. That's all he's saying. Is he asking us to do anything less than he did for us? No. Oh, I can't forgive what that person did. Well, you know that God couldn't forgive what you did, but he still forgave you. He even gave his son to die for you, to forgive you. I tell you, I believe that the Christianity of many Bible-believing fundamentalist Christians is not Christianity at all. It's just religion with a lot of Bible study and Bible knowledge, but does not change their heart attitude year after year after year after year. They just keep on increasing in Bible knowledge and oozing with Bible knowledge, not becoming more spiritual. And I want to make sure, dear brothers and sisters, this year does not become a failure for you as past years. I want to encourage you to take it seriously and say, Lord, I want to be Christ-like, not more Pharisee-like this year. I want to be more like you. And you're going to examine my heart's attitude towards you by my attitude towards other people. First my home and then my local church, and then gradually we can go to the uttermost parts of the world. Sure. But don't think that your Christianity is tested by your corresponding with somebody in America or Australia and saying, oh, we have a wonderful time corresponding. It means nothing if you're not good in your own home. It's a deception. Everybody can have a wonderful time with people whom they meet once in a while. You know, you have a wonderful time in a conference with people you meet once in a while. You have no problem with them. But it's the people you live with, whom you meet with regularly in your church, in your home first. And so I want to urge you, my brothers, start with your home this year. And then start, next circle is the local church. Make sure you have a very good relationship this year with everybody in your home, and that you treat everybody in your home the way Jesus treated you. That's all. The way Jesus treated you all these years is a good example to follow towards other people in your home. If you're going to be demanding that they should be perfect, imagine if Jesus demanded that I should be perfect before he had any fellowship with me. I would be doomed. I'd get so discouraged. I'd give up. Even today, he accepts me as an imperfect person. Is your servant in your home not perfect? Terrible, isn't it? Do you know the meaning of mercy? Do you know the meaning of goodness? to people who are at a much lower level than you. I'll tell you, in the past year, I have been convicted myself of, not servants, I think we've not had any in our home, but sometimes when I've spoken to someone who is a little lower than me in social level, a shopkeeper, or something, I think of a few instances like that in the past where I was not absolutely kind in the way I spoke. And I repented like anything, almost immediately, within 24 hours. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because the way that came to me was like this. Let's say some shopkeeper cheated me. Okay. And then maybe I speak, and I don't get angry, but I can speak a little unkindly to him. And then the Lord says, okay, now try giving the gospel to him. Give the gospel to him. Isn't he a sinner for whom Jesus died? Don't you need to tell him now that Jesus died for him after you, the way you've spoken to him just now? And I go hanging my head in shame and I say, Lord, I can never give the gospel to that man. I hope he forgets my face so that I can one day come back and give the gospel to him. Imagine that I have to pray like that. Lord, I pray he'll forget my face so that one day I can give the gospel to him. But you know what happens? I keep doing that a few times. It makes me a better person. And gradually, it's not overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. Gradually, I begin to have a little more control over people who cheat me or do something wrong or don't do the way things should be done. Don't give up the battle. I've decided not to give up the battle. Lord, if I fall 100 times, I'm going to get up 100 times. I'm going to be a better man at the end of 2010. And I want to speak to every human being in 2010 in such a way that at the end of my conversation with him, I can give the gospel to him. Isn't that a good goal to have? Lord, anybody, and all these difficult people we shall meet in this year, I want to speak to them in such a way that at the end of my whatever comments I have made on his behavior, I should be able to give the gospel to him and say, hey, I'll tell you something that can help you and me, the gospel. Please keep that in mind. These guys we yell at, you're going to give the gospel to them. That servant in your home, don't you want her to be saved? Or is she going to stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, I worked in the home of one of your children for 5 years and they behaved in such a bad way, I couldn't believe that you're the Savior. That'd be terrible. That'd be terrible if somebody stands before the Lord and says, Lord, I worked in the house of one of your children and the way they behaved, I couldn't believe that you are the Savior of the world. It's impossible. It couldn't be. They only talk religious stuff. God help me if any of my neighbors have to say that. We all have difficult neighbors, and I've tried my best through all the years that I've lived here to be good to them. Never to get into a fight with anyone, and if they take advantage of me, fine. Let me be good to them. If I lose financially, fine. I want them to see that I'm a Christian. That I'm not... money is nothing. If a little bit loses, that's okay. I deny myself and buy a little less for my home, but I want to be a good Christian to my neighbors. Dear brothers and sisters, please keep that in mind.